If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call and join a conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Thank you for joining us tonight. Glad to be back. Had an unexpected week off last week because my power went out. So I apologize for the listeners out there that didn't get the word in time. I tried once my power went off, I got on my cell phone and got in touch with a guest and tried to get in touch with some other people that could get the word out via email. But if you didn't get the message, I apologize, and glad to be back this week and really appreciate you listening. We've got some great guests lined up tonight. I've got Andy Mueller from the Tennessee Freedom Coalition. He's a founder and president of that organization, great organization. And we're going to have him on here in just a few minutes. And then we're going to have Sherry Orange from Wilson County. She's with the Wilson County Tea Party. She's, I think, on the election commission, just very involved in conservative politics. If you've been involved in the Tea Parties in Tennessee at all, then you've at least heard of Sherry. And she's going to talk to us about annexation, which is an issue here in Tennessee. So, once again, appreciate you joining us, and Andy should be with us here in just a minute. Got a busy week coming up in the legislature. If you haven't heard, I've got some bills that we need to be very concerned about. Give you one of them, matter of fact, is annexation, and there is a bill. And there's actually a couple of bills, and we're going to talk about those a little bit more, but I just want to put this out to you. There's going to be a bill in the Subfinance Committee, and the bill is House Bill 0590, and it is written by Representative Van House. And you need to get in touch with the committee members, and the chair is Michael Harrison, and then the other members are David Alexander, Joe Armstrong, Kevin Brooks, Karen Camper, Craig Vitchue, David Hawk, Gerald McCormick, Steve McDaniel, Gary Odom, Dennis Roach, and Charles Sargent. Anyway, we'll give you a few more details on that here in a minute. We've got Andy on the line. We'll go ahead and get started. Andy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I appreciate you being with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I hope I can say something at least mildly interesting. So,
well, I'm sure you will. I was just while I was waiting on you to call, I started talking a little bit about the annexation. I don't want to get too in depth with that with you because I've got Sherry Orange, the next guest, is going to focus her attention on that issue. But you did send out an alert to the Tennessee Freedom Coalition today on that. So, if you want to reiterate that, now would be a good time.
Well, absolutely. I mean, with only a handful of states that actually still have, this kind of leftover ability to pretty much take people's land and basically put it in whatever category they want to, it's time for Tennessee to kind of update that. And it needs to be much more, that situation has been ridiculous for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, the people need a voice on that one for sure. Don't leave it up to the city, certainly not up to the city, to have the power to annex. And unfortunately, you can't trust your county commissions necessarily to do the right thing. So I think the people definitely need to vote, and that's what House Bill 590 will allow. And so hopefully, people will get hot, get in touch with the committee, get in touch with their reps and their senators, and get that thing through there.
Well, the point is, on so many of our issues as conservatives, in my opinion, is, you know, you push power down away from large centralized, you know, bureaucratic situations and let the people decide.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And I think there's way too much power centralized. I noticed, I'm sure you saw the article where there's some in the legislature who are trying to rein in the governor a little bit, and I think that's a great thing. And he's fighting back. He wants to keep his power. Got to kind of wonder about that a little bit.
The only people that I know that like change is, you know, are babies with dirty diapers. So, and particularly in a situation like the governor, they're executives. And that's very different than it's a different even skill set than being being an effective, you know, executive is much different from being an effective legislator. And those that are, you know, of that mindset to be a successful executive, the last thing they want to do is give up power.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but we do need our legislature, I think, to rein in, not just this governor, but in general. I think, you know, their power needs to be diluted somewhat.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, we talked a while back, and you mentioned that the Tennessee Freedom Coalition was going to go through some changes in the upcoming months. Have you got any more details on that to share, Sheriff, this time?
Some of that isn't so much, you know, really a change for the TFC as it is, you know, we've been looking and talking and thinking for a long time that there's a real need for a more national organization that can focus all these disparate groups in all these different states and help each other with information, with thoughts on who to bring as a speaker or an expert to the different state legislatures and get some of these, you know, so many of these bills passed that we all want to see passed. You know, some states have gotten one thing and but they haven't been able to get some of the stuff that we've gotten here in Tennessee, and yet there's several things out there that we seem to be struggling with. And so if those groups would share or have, you know, a central place where they can go and know that they'll be connected to people that have been successful at it with their legislature, I think it's going to help everybody.
And kind of like a lessons learned center. You know, the military has that. The Army has a center for Army lessons learned so that you don't have to go out and make the same mistakes that your predecessors did.
Well, I'm an amateur historian, and I think that if you look at so many things that are going wrong with this country, they're so predictable. Ancient Rome, it took hundreds of years, you know, for it to happen with them, but because of the information age and how quickly information travels and the internet and how much data you can really get, then it's caused markets to swing more rapidly in shorter periods of time. It's caused social movements that have sprung up that would have taken years, or if not tens of years, to catch hold. Now they can catch hold in 30 days. And so, you know, it's history. If we don't learn from it, it'll prove you wrong every time, because you think, well, this is a truly unique situation. And generally speaking, it's all happened before. So,
yeah, we think we're unique, but we're not. And there's nothing really new under the sun. Technology may change it a little bit, but the same problems, the same issues, you're still dealing with the same creature. So you're going to end up with similar results every time.
Well, what was fairly unique was the way that our founders decided to structure things. And I think that's been, you know, a major key to our success, you know, as a nation for the amount of time that we've been on top. And that was fairly unique.
No argument there.
We seem to be, you know, on this huge downhill slide to give it all away again.
You know, and I think maybe they had learned from the past because, you know, if you go back and if you read the Federalist Papers and if you read the notes on the debates of the Constitution, these were very well-read people, and they knew about Rome. They knew about other societies, how they had failed, and they did try to take history into consideration when they were forming our country.
Absolutely, they did, and there are a lot of letters to prove that. And in most cases, everything that they did, each part wasn't necessarily unique, but the way they put it together, I believe, was. And that's really what made it work.
You know, at the end of the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin was asked, what have you given us? And he replied, a republic if you can keep it. And so it's up to us to defend the Constitution. And speaking of defending the Constitution, there's a Defend the Constitution rally Saturday, April 26th. It should come as no surprise that our Constitution, the basis of our nation and the central core of our values, is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. And if you're tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand to name just a few. Great music, great food, and great times will be had by all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great event and hope to see you there. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we're talking with Andy Miller, president and founder of the Tennessee Freedom Coalition. And Andy, obviously we've gotten away from our Constitution. And that's one of the things that your organization is about, and, you know, different organizations that me and you are both familiar with and involved in some different way. It's not just that we got away from the Constitution. I think we've gotten away from the values and we've gotten away from a Christian heritage. I know some people don't want to hear that, but that's the bottom line. You know, our founders recognized that this Constitution would not work for an ungodly people. And they stated that pretty plainly in the letters you mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. And it's horrifying because, you know, this is going to be no surprise to you and probably many of your listeners. I speak a lot about the threat of Islam and how radical that ideology is, and not just how people read it. But if you read those books, it's clear that it's written at the very base level of their holy books. And it's just amazing how many people will say to me, so I guess, Andy, you think that Islam is the number one threat facing this nation? And I immediately say no. I say it's our lack of faith. It's the direction we've taken because, you know, if we knew who we are and we were proud of who we are, it wouldn't stand a chance.
Exactly.
That Islam performs very well in a vacuum, and you're seeing that play out right now in Europe where they basically turn their – all but a very small percentage of their populations are basically secular. In that they wouldn't describe themselves as having any religion. Church attendance there is dropped through the floor. Many of their churches are being turned into mosques.
Yep, and, or museums at best.
That's right. And trust me, if we don't get a handle on our immigration policies and what's happening through the UN Refugee Resettlement Program, then, you know, that is what's going to cause this to all sour that much quicker.
Oh, yeah, especially with all the enemies we have around the world. I mean, nobody's going to come and save America, bottom line.
No.
Nobody's coming to save us.
No, and I read something today that China, Russia, and now Iran are all based in North Korea, are all pushing and kind of picking at the borders of our security, whether it's online hacking or whether it's the Iranian ships that are now literally right outside the territorial waters of the U.S. and basically throwing down the gauntlet to say, if you want to fight, come on out, and we'll put you to the bottom of the sea. It's unbelievable, especially when you think that Barack Obama just recently has tried to rein back the sanctions on them. And the only thing that to the Islamic mind is weakness, and weakness is to be pushed first.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing that right now.
Yeah. Well, the situation you just described, what they're probing, they know we're in a mess. We have a traitor in the White House. We have a pro-Islamic traitor in the White House. Whether he's fully Muslim or not is irrelevant. He's pro-Islamic. Our borders are wide open. Our economy's on the brink. Now, if we have an economic collapse, I don't think that China, Russia, and Iran are out there thinking, okay, now it's time to come to the rescue. It's like, oh, now's the time to hit them. And, you know, like I say, we would already be compromised in so many ways, but then we have a leader that we cannot trust. And we have cowards in Congress that won't hold them accountable.
Well, specifically Russia and China, they have a huge interest in being the number one superpower. And they can't do that to us while we're healthy.
Yep.
And that position is something much like what I think we're seeing right now in Turkey. They long to return to the empire days, the days of the caliphate.
Yep.
And people long to be the big dog on the block. And
yep.
It's as predictable as anything in human nature that you want to see. So there's going to be somebody that really tries to knock us off the top of the hill, literally. It just you sense it in the air. So you know,
yeah, we're living in scary
times. It's horrifying
for sure.
With the leader that we have, the administration that we have. It doesn't seem to be. You can either argue that it doesn't seem to know what it's doing, or it knows exactly what it's doing.
And I heard that, I think yesterday or today, he put out new guidance, basically that we're not necessarily going to stop people from immigrating here just because they have some level of involvement with terrorism in their past. You know, I don't know if that's moderate terrorist, you know, somebody's just dabbled in terrorism. I don't know how they define that, but they're now okay. So I guess we'll have people like Holder and others deciding that, not Holder, whoever the current, not Napolitano is not the head of DHS anymore. I can't recall the guy's name. Sure, he's not any better. Those people will be deciding which terrorists, I guess, get to come into our country.
Well, the way I view that is, you know, you're either a terrorist or you're not.
It's kind of like being a little pregnant.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. I mean, you can't be kind of.
Yeah. I've got a caller on the line here, and we'll take a call real quick. If it will work. Here, let's see. I know it's Kurt on the line. Kurt, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, cold, Dave, cold. I'm running behind. Just got in the house. Everything's a wreck, but that's okay. Listen, you know, the only thing I got that I want to say right at this moment, that may change later, But I'd like to take this opportunity, since I haven't been in his presence for a long time. I want to thank Andy Miller from the bottom of my heart for all that he does for this cause. There are a lot of soldiers in this fight out there, but he's one of the ones leading the charge, and I am just so grateful for that. I don't have the right words at the moment to say, but thank you, Andy, for all that
Kurt,
you do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. There, you know, we all go through days when we feel like, can I keep this up? And it's people just like you that I do this for. I mean, I hope you understand, I serve you.
I do.
Well, I think anybody that knows you appreciates that, Andy, and we all are very appreciative of what you've done, and that, you know, you nobody's more generous with their resources for a good cause than you are, and that's just, we can't thank you enough.
Well, if I didn't think it wasn't vitally important, and there are times when I think, you know, had I not had children, you know, I might have thought about, hey, it's time to check, you know, blow this popsicle stand and head on, you know, someplace else where I can hide, you know, and not have to worry about what's coming. But, you know, your children ground you. And,
yeah, they sure do.
Slam my eyes wide open, and being somewhat, you know, in touch with what's going on in Washington, what's going on at the state level, and knowing that at the end of the day, there's right and there's wrong. And we got to all pitch in and do whatever we can, whatever we can afford to do, whatever time we can afford to give. Because if we don't wake up others, then it'll make what we need to do that much harder.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think some in Europe are waking up. They may be waking up too late. It's certainly too late for a good chunk of France. It's probably getting that way for Germany. I think Belgium's pretty much gone. A little good news, Switzerland, I think, finally clamped down. I don't know how many Islamists they already have in their country, but at least they did do something today on their, you know, wide-open immigration.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, my good friend in the Netherlands, Geert Wilders, his party, which had been viewed as kind of a fringe kind of party, looks as though, right, if the election were held today, Geert would be the new prime minister.
That'd be great. That would be absolutely great.
The polls are just saying people are finally waking up. Now, whether they can actually get to the point where they're willing to say, you know, if you do the crime, it's not just the time, you're gone.
Yeah.
They've got to stop any more active immigration, and then they've got to start acting and being willing to stick their neck out and say, we'll just send you back to where you came from. You clearly don't want to integrate. You clearly don't want to be a part of this freedom, and it's obviously causing a problem for you, so go home.
I'm with you. I wish we could do that here. And matter of fact, you know, I sent you something a little earlier. I don't have a chance to look at it, but with everything just that we've talked about so far, you know, our borders are wide open. We have known members of the Muslim Brotherhood that advise our Department of Homeland Security, that regularly visit with our president. Our president is, our country is infiltrated at the highest levels by Muslim Brotherhood, and they have the same goals and the same ideology as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and as the Taliban. I mean, dress better, smell better, speak better, but they're the same people. And given that we can't trust our federal government, it would seem to me that the responsibility then falls to the state government. Of course, we have problems there, too, with our governor and our state DHS. But I really think we're at the point where we're going to have to insist that our state representatives, our state senators, demand some sort of state security policy dealing with this issue because we can't trust the feds. They have proven we can't trust them. I don't know if that's feasible, and I don't know how to go about it, but I think we're at that point.
Well, I think we're probably well past that point, but it makes it tough when to kind of get the picture, you know, until you kind of understand that our president's brother is the head of the financial, you know, arm of the Muslim Brotherhood in Africa. And, you know, his father was a member. Several of his family members are a part of the Muslim Brotherhood. And even the Egyptian people, after the election, figured out really what the Muslim Brotherhood was all about, and they had the good sense to get it out, and they're getting it out. And General Sisi there is, you know, while you may look at that as a coup, honestly, it was a coup to get a dictator on the rise out and an ideology that was not what they wanted out, and it's been a bloody mess.
Yeah, literally. And it was a coup for survival, essentially, is what it was. And we're really going to be at that point before too long at the way things are going.
Well, when you talk about the Egyptians, it truly was a coup for survival, with over half of their income, if not more, being from the tourism business. There was nobody that was going to travel there freely ever again if the Muslim Brotherhood stayed in power. And there was even some talk of them blowing up the pyramids to kind of make it so that nobody would come there for that reason. Nobody would, you know, that side wouldn't have that to fall back on. And so it's one of those rare cases where, you know, finally people say that's not who or what we want to be.
Yeah. So what is the next thing we can expect to see out of the Tennessee Freedom Coalition? Do you have something special planned? Do you have special events or a special speaker or a special movement planned to wake up people in Tennessee and, as you become a national organization, you know, wake up this part of the country on this issue?
Well, there's several things. There's an event that's going to happen in late March. We're going to have a speaker, a woman in, that was a Christian living in Pakistan and was attacked. Acid was thrown on her face, and she's horribly disfigured. But she's making it her mission in life. She immigrated to the U.S. and is a beautiful woman from the standpoint of her soul. And she wants to talk to people about what all this means, and that's going to be a really, we're doing it along with Act for America, Middle Tennessee, and several other organizations, all wonderful organizations, and that's going to be a really great speaking event. But we're right in the heat of the legislative session, and a lot of, because they've moved the schedule up so much to get out earlier, that just means, you know, the irons are in the fire, and when you pull them out, you better have them ready. You can't mold them for very long, and they're going to get set. So
Well, Ed, I can't recall the woman's name, but I know who you're talking about. We have her lined up to come to the newly formed, or the ACT chapter that's forming in Clarksville, and she will be in Clarksville at the library March 16th, I think, from 1 to 3. but we'll have more information on that. I'm up against a hard break. I know you don't have a whole lot of time. Do you have time to stay a little bit after the break, or do I need to let you go?
You know, Dave, if you ask, I'll do it.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk to you some more on the other side. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Andy Miller from the Tennessee Freedom Coalition. He's gracious enough to stay with us for a few more minutes. You mentioned that we're going
to
have...
One thing I'd like to do with this, just a little bit of these few more minutes, I want to thank you for what you're doing. You know, a lot of people are trying to do a lot of things, and you're one that is always out there, is at every freedom, liberty-type meeting that's going on, and doing the show is just another example of how you're getting out and doing all that you can do. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, I really appreciate that, Andy. And I think we have pretty much the same mindset. You know, it's got to be done, and we can't wait around for other people to do it. And I'm not able to accomplish as much as you are, but we have the same heart and the same desire, and we are not going to let our country go down without a fight. It's bottom line. So I really appreciate that, and like I say, I appreciate you. And I tell you what, Kurt, I know you're still on the line. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know how many years Kurt took it easy, but I know he has not taken a breath for almost the last 5 years in this fight.
God bless you, Kurt, because that's what we have to have.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Dave, both. I'm going to make a statement here that I've made to a few people around. I want everybody to know this. Push comes to shove, I'll follow Sergeant Vance through hell, provided I can keep up, and the same goes for you, Andy.
Well, thank you very much. I hope we don't have to go through hell, but I see something dark and fiery on the horizon.
I'm afraid we do, yes.
Yeah, appreciate you, Kurt. And Kurt's got a few years on us. I think you've met him, but he's got a few years on us. But I'll tell you what, he's got an Energizer battery in there somewhere.
We keep it plugged in.
Well, I'm getting on up there too, Dave. So, you know, one day soon, if not already, they're going to be saying the same thing about me. So,
anything you want to hit for next couple of minutes before we let you go? Any points you want to make? Issues you want to plug?
You know, one of the things, and this isn't so much an issue, but talk to your state representatives and state senators. Let them know how you feel about either different bills that are coming up or ask them how they feel about this or what they think that can be done about that. Make sure that they know you're there. Make sure that they know you care about these things, because I can guarantee you, you know, a phone call is worth a thousand, you know, phone calls. I mean, a thousand letters or that kind of thing. They want, if they hear you, and specifically if they see you when they're hearing you, it yep. really connects. And we have to do that. We have to, and it's not about getting in their face. It's about letting them know the things that are important to you and why.
You'll
be surprised. A lot of them will feel the same way, and they need to be emboldened as well.
Yeah, they need
support. Because most of
the
folks up there are some of the most selfless people I know. They don't get, it's not a job you take because of the pay. I can tell you that right now.
No, it's not. It's not. You know, I was thinking, because I've been up, I don't get to go up there a lot, but every now and then I'll take a day and I'll go up there, take a day off from work order and go for a certain bill or something. And I see all the people up there that I know can pretty much be there every day, the different lobbyists and or the different people, especially on the left, who they just call them up and they can come, or they bust them there. And those of us who are still in the workforce, we can't counter that. I wish we had more Kurtz, okay? Kurt is a seasoned citizen, we'll say, and, you know, he puts his all into it. If we could get some way, somehow, the gray-haired brigade to get involved more so and get them, and I understand a lot of them are in the Tea Parties, but really get them up there in the halls at Nashville, I think it would make a difference.
I think, too, it would also make a difference if the groups got together and we figure out a way, because they're not in session for that long. And,
right.
You know, if everybody could coordinate so that they can get up there at least twice during the session.
Right.
And that everybody kind of rotates, so you've got consistent amounts of people up there talking about the right legislation, talking about the things that matter again. Like I said, if you're up there and you are face to face with them, it's worth 1,000 phone calls and it's worth 10,000 letters.
Yeah.
And literally, they look at it that way. They know that if I get 100 phone calls on this, there were 100 times that number of people that felt that way. So there's a lot of weight given to the fact that citizens come up and they want to talk about, you know, the issues that they want to talk about.
And there's really nothing this session that I'm aware of that deals with the Islamic threat. I know we're disappointed in that, but I think that's going to have to be, since it's too late to file any bills this year, I think we're going to have to start beating that drum, because every day goes by, our federal government fails us even more. In return, that just leaves our state in danger. And so some way, somehow, we have to let them know that we expect them to take up the slack and then figure out how to do it.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I don't know that there is a single state that has legislators more educated on this issue than Tennessee. They know more about this issue than, and I'm so proud that they did. It was by a lot of people's efforts, and you know, I would say that Tennessee is probably at the top of the list of states that have done the right kind of legislation on this issue, and that means we can't rest on our laurels. There will be more.
Oh, and we've
got
some guys
very
been
important
in the
things this session that we had to focus on.
Yeah, I understand. And like I say, we've got some guys who have fought this. It seems like they get, you know, they've accomplished some things, but it seems like they're left holding the bag and they take all the abuse. And I'd like to see more of their colleagues step up and say, hey, I'm with you. and you know, just show a solid front, and because
absolutely.
That's what it's going to take.
And the communication with our legislators should not just be, hey, you let me down on that, or hey, why aren't you for this? It's vitally important to let them know that you support them and you applaud them on the things that they have done.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something we got. Yeah, that's a good point to remember. Sometimes it's hard to do, you know. But yeah, we do need to do that. When they do the right thing, we got to tell them about it. Just like when they do the wrong thing, we got to let them know about it.
Well, I think we conservatives have a tendency to, you know, we want to fix things so badly, but we're not going to. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to fix it overnight. And so we have to remember that, you know. We're not just about saying you didn't do enough all the time.
Right.
We have to take these things, and some of the victories are going to be 1 inch.
Yeah.
But it was a critical thing. So.
Right, and I understand that, you know, and granted, it's not all just going to be accomplished in Nashville. We really have to get – we have to expand the choir out here in the public, because that is ultimately what's going to force Nashville to do the right thing.
If people don't run for county commission, if they don't run for their local school board, if they don't run for a lot of these positions, that if conservatives don't run for these positions, I can guarantee you who's going to run for them.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And I think we're going to have a few people step up in our county, and I think several counties have people stepping up for different positions. So we'll see how that goes. And I guess, you know, you said it a minute ago, we didn't get this situation overnight. At the same time, those of us who are conservative, we know how bad things are, and we know we don't have the amount of time to fix what they have been doing to us for the last 100 years. We don't have time for a 20-year cure for something that's going to kill us in five. So
no,
I think that's
right.
part of our...
And the damage went hyperbolic in the last 6 years, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's part of why we're impatient. You know, we know we don't have a whole lot of time to try to fix things.
We know that light we see on the horizon is not a bonfire with a bunch of hot dogs. It's bad. It's bad out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Andy, I really appreciate you coming on, and I hope to have you back before too long. I know you're busy and you're swamped, but, you know, maybe we could do this again, you know, in a few weeks if you're available.
Dave, you know I'll do it anytime you want me to.
Well, hey, Andy, appreciate everything. Thank you for coming on, and we will talk to you later. God bless.
God bless you, too. God bless you, too, Kirk.
Thank you, Andy.
You bet.
Take care. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline of those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and mercy survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. Okay, we've got a few minutes here before Sherry Orange joins us, and we're going to be talking about the issue of annexation. But I got a few things here that I need to let you know about, and I've got a stack of stuff here, so let me get to it here pretty quick. Anyway, the February 27th in Jackson, Tennessee, at Union University, Grant Hall at Union University, here it goes. It's called a County Line Stand for Liberty. We have a very important event coming up in Jackson at Union University Thursday, February 27th. This is from Dave Nance. He's former head of the 8th District Tea Party Coalition. The event is sponsored by the Tennessee 7th and 8th District Tea Party Coalitions. Sheriff Richard Mack will be our keynote speaker at this event. Also speaking will be the Executive Director of the Tennessee Firearms Association, John Harris, as well as candidate for Tennessee's U.S. Senator for U.S. Senate Joe Carr running against Lamar Alexander in the August 7th primary election. Now, if those of you who may not be familiar with Richard Mack, he's a sheriff out in Arizona who took on he basically took on the feds, took the case all the way to the Supreme Court and won. All right, basically the issue was the federal government cannot force a county sheriff to enforce federal law. This was a gun law. So he, after that, he started the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. So that's who Richard Mack is. John Harris, our executive director of Tennessee Firearms Association, you will not find a stronger defender of the Second Amendment in Tennessee. Matter of fact, I think it's safe to say that most of the bills that have been passed in Tennessee, he had a hand in some way, shape, or form. Okay, so he's going to be speaking. And as we mentioned, Joe Carr, who's running against Lamar Alexander, we got to get rid of Lamar. I'll tell you what, that guy has to go. And Joe Carr is a good, solid conservative, and I think he would do an excellent job. We have some special guests at this event, Senator Mae Beavers, Representative Judd Matheny, and Andy Miller, who was just with us. You need to meet these fighters for our Constitution, state sovereignty, and our founding principles. You won't be aggravated by having to listen to any rhinos at this event. Amen to that. Senator Mae Beavers is challenged in this year's election by a rhino with our rhino governor's money behind him. Although a vote by the coalitions hasn't been taken, when it's all said and done, money raised will probably end up helping Senator Beavers. Also, Sheriff Mack will be meeting with any and all law enforcement personnel from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. on February 27th, and there is no cost to law enforcement personnel to attend this afternoon meeting. Now, if you're law enforcement or if you know somebody it is, tell them about this event. The 3:30 to 4:30 is free. If they want to come back for the 6:30 event, then they're going to have to pay. It's only $30 for the whole event. Please go to the webpage to purchase tickets. Now, I'm going to give you the link here in just a second, but you can only get the tickets online. We can't do fundraising at Union University, so you have to purchase your tickets online. www.tn8tpc, that's tn8tpc.org/sheriffmack.html. All right. We've got 500 seats for the event, and we hope to see you there. That's February 27th, 6:30 p.m., Grant Hall, Union University, Jackson, Tennessee. If you're a conservative, do your best to be there and support these organizations. All right. There's a couple other things I want to hit you up about, and I did not get to load her advertisement, but Karen Bracken, who's been very involved with the Common Core event, her Common Core issue here in Tennessee. She's doing some great things. And she's got an ad campaign. She's trying to raise some money, and she's already raised some, for these spots on main radio stations during the day. The Del Giorno Show, 99.7 out of Nashville, and there's another radio station in Cleveland, Chattanooga, 101.3. These are obviously not free. So she's raising money for that. She's already raised some, and we got to get the word out about Common Core, because you got to remember, on the other side of the aisle, you have people like the Chamber of Commerce who are pushing Common Core. So she's recorded some ads from our perspective. All right. So if you want to make a donation, you can just send it to William Bracken, 231 Bob White Drive, Ocoee, Tennessee, that's O-C-O-E-E, Tennessee, 37361. Payable to him, and then four Common Core commercials. Also, she has a free postcard or sets of postcards that she will send you if you email her at karen.bracken@reagan.com. And basically, these are postcards that you can then send to the governor asking him to stop Common Core. All right, so those are some good things to support there. I've got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Sherry Orange with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, These MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase, Molon Levay, which translated means, come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number 718-305-7176. And I believe we have Ms. Sherry Orange on the line with us here. These buttons are a little slow tonight. Everything's not pulling up right away, so you'll have to bear with me. Sherry, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you being with us.
And thank you.
Are a little fired. You are a little fired up about an issue. Let's talk about it.
Yes, I'm a concerned citizen regarding the issue of forced annexation. That's what I'm fired up about. I have been focused on this issue for 3 years, and I helped draft annexation legislation with the leader of the movement, Bill Haupt, and I am involved because I've learned that we get the government we choose to participate in, and as Thomas Jefferson once said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
He's right on that. I'll tell you that you can't trust the people you elect any more than you can trust a 16-year-old with your daughter.
Isn't that the truth?
So, where do we stand? What are the current annexation laws in Tennessee?
Okay. Well, the current laws in Tennessee are, one, annexation can be made at the request of a citizen and approved by the city. Two, annexation can be made at the request of a city and consented to by a citizen. And three, annexation by referendum, approval of a majority of those citizens living in the area to be annexed. But this choice is never chosen by any city. According to TASER, not one city has ever allowed citizens to exercise their right to vote, but they always choose this next and last option, which is number four, which is annexation by ordinance, and this is commonly called forced annexation, and some people call it legal plunder. But this option of forced annexation ignores the voice of the people. And as our founding patriots used to say, this is taxation without representation. And this option allows the majority vote of a city commission to change the lives of all persons within this annexed area. And then, like I said, number four, forced annexation. This also goes ahead and allows the municipality to extend their boundaries onto your property, and you become part of their municipality. And for the citizen, you get to be faced with another layer of taxes and government regulations telling you what you can and cannot do on your property. And you all must also begin paying those taxes that very year. And the city, in turn, is to provide you with services in a reasonable amount of time. But what sounds reasonable to you is not reasonable to them, because there is no time plan for when an annexed person will receive services. And Tennessee is one of only three states in the country that do not permit residents affected by annexation to participate in a referendum vote to allow or disallow such an action. The only other states that are that way or of that mindset are Indiana and Idaho.
Let me ask you something real quick. Now, you said that the cities have the option of allowing the citizens to vote, but the citizens don't currently they don't have that option. It's if the cities decide or if the county commission decides that, hey, yeah, we'll let them vote on this. So they, you know, right now they don't really have it, even though a citizen can petition to be annexed.
It's on the books, but they never do it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I doubt there's a whole lot of – are there a lot of citizens out there that want to be annexed?
I haven't run into any. Everybody I talked to that has been annexed, they're pretty upset about it because they had no voice. They were not allowed any decision-making in the process. To me, what would be the right thing to do would be for the city to make a sales pitch and say, look at all we've got to offer you if you decide to accept annexation. But instead, they don't even think they have to do that. And according to our forced annexation law, they don't have to do it.
Well, they do dangle some money in front of the county commissioners because I guess they share the tax revenue for the first 15 years or something
years,
like that?
Yeah, 15 years. They certainly do.
Yeah, and if your county commission is anything like mine and like probably most of them in Tennessee, mm-hmm. as soon as that money is dangled and mm-hmm. they hear 15 years, oh, hey, this is a win-win. You know, I won't be around whenever this runs out and people start having problems.
Right, exactly. And, you know, what they tend to do with that money is they don't worry about giving you any services because, you know, they've got this fattening of city coffers, and so while spending little or no money on you that's been annexed, that enables them to spread this newfound wealth around even more. And you would not believe how many nonprofit groups they suddenly are able to contribute to, which, you know, they're thinking about themselves, how to get themselves reelected is what all that is about at your expense.
That sounds familiar. Now, there's three different bills out there right now.
Yes.
And there's one that's in the hopper. But, well, let's talk about all three of them. I think the first one that's in the hopper this week, and matter of fact, Tennessee Coalition sent out an email on it, as did Ben Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I've got it right here. Email members of the Finance Subcommittee in support of HB 0590 to require a vote of the people before annexation is allowed. Let's see. The email must be sent before the committee meets 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, February 12th. And this lists the members. You know, I started reading this off earlier, but it's the House Finance Subcommittee, chaired by Michael Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's for this. Let's talk about this first bill, 590. Give us the good and bad and the ugly on 590.
Well, what I like about it, it's clear, it's simple, it's straightforward. It always has been. I'll put it that way. This bill allows all annexation to be put up to a vote by the citizens. Therefore, there would be a referendum for all annexations. How simple is this? This is an American way. It gives every citizen the right to vote. I like this bill. And another thing I like about it, it's gone through all the committees. We're down to the sub-finance committee. We need to get it moved out of there, and then it will go to the full finance committee, I'm sure. And then once it gets out of there, it would move to the House floor. And we need everybody's help on asking the sub-finance committee members to please support the bill. We also need we need to get as many co-sponsors on there as well. And if people don't have their representative on the bill, they need to be asking them why does the representative not want to allow them the decision and the right to vote.
And that's by Van Hus. He's the House sponsor of the bill. The Senate companion bill is 869 by Senator Crow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one that's straight up and forward, hey, the people get a vote.
Yes.
And so I think that's what most people want. Now, hey, there is another bill.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I've got that one here as well, and that one's a little bit down the line. It's House Bill 2371 by Representative Carter, and I know he's put a lot of work into this fight as well. And
mm-hmm.
Senate bill, companion bill is Senate Bill 2464 by Watson.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure where mm-hmm. they're at in the process, but there is a difference in the two bills, and if you could talk about
mm-hmm.
that. Matter of fact, we're just about – I'm up to the break right now. I've got to take a hard break. We'll
okay.
have a couple of minutes, and when we come back, you can talk about this bill, okay?
Okay, sure thing.
All right, don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama should approve the Keystone XL pipeline immediately. That according to Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz, who spoke today at the Heritage Foundation.
Building the Keystone pipeline ought to be a no-brainer.
Cruz mentioned former Obama Interior Secretary Ken Salazar's recent endorsement of the pipeline as evidence that the president is holding it up merely for political reasons. He also argued that the pipeline would create thousands of good-paying union jobs and would be safer than continuing to import oil via tankers that are susceptible to ocean spills. The broader message of Cruz's speech was that although the U.S. is on the right path, Washington must eliminate hurdles that block states from producing more energy, such as natural gas. He argued that states like New York and California are inhibiting job growth by preventing energy manufacturers from using hydraulic fracturing to extract natural gas. Meanwhile, he said, Pennsylvania is currently experiencing an embarrassment of riches in oil shale thanks to a pro-fracking policy. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me, we are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number is 718-305-7176. And I'm talking with Sherry Orange from Wilson County. We're talking about annexation. And Sherry, before the break, we just discussed Senate Bill 590 a little bit. And now we're going to talk about the other bill, which is Representative Carter, Senate Bill 2464. And what are the give me the good, bad, and ugly on this one and can kind of compare and contrast it with 590.
Okay. The second bill is HB 2371 by Representative Carter and Senate Bill 2464 by Watson. This bill abolishes forced annexation by ordinance. So therefore, the city would have to follow option three that I talked about a few minutes ago in the existing Tennessee law, which states that annexation will be by referendum approval of a majority of those citizens living in the area to be annexed. So citizens, in my opinion, should support both bills since they are both in effect eliminating the annexation by ordinance and replacing it with a referendum because both bills accomplish the same thing, eliminating forced annexation. Now, the difference is Van Hoose's bill has gone through most all the committees and it's now on schedule to be brought up at the sub-finance committee. And this bill has made it through most, you know, all the House committees. So it's the first one coming up to be discussed on Wednesday. And it's made it through what I call the hoops, where Representative Carter, he rewrote his bill because the other one that he had out there gave the decision of annexation to a majority of county commissioners voting, not the property owners. And that did create serious concerns by both affected voters and county commissioners as well. I talked to a Republican and Democrat commissioners, and neither one of them liked the bill for various reasons. But we're thankful that Representative Carter heard those concerns, and he has taken that bill off, and he's rewritten this new bill, HB 2371, that I just talked about, that abolishes annexation. I'm certainly on board with that, but it's got to go through all those committees. And
right.
But I want to make it clear, we do support this bill as well as the Van Hus bill as it is now written, because it, too, allows a referendum, because by taking number four away, forced annexation, the cities have to honor number three, which is a citizen referendum.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are we at on the Senate side?
I'm hearing that Senator Crowe is just kind of waiting to see if the House bill makes it through the next, you know, subfinance in the regular finance committee and gets to the House bill. But we're hoping he'll start moving on it soon. But that's where it is right now. It's not really moving yet.
Okay, so he's playing wait and see for the House. And about Senator Watson and his companion bill to Carter's 2371? Is it kind of the same situation, or do you know?
Well, since he rewrote it, it's got to get scheduled in, but I hear he's got a lot of co-sponsors on his bill already. He's been working hard on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So one way or the other, we want to get rid of the right of the city to just say, hey, we're going to take your land, we're going to annex you. So we obviously
definitely
want to be rid of that. And we want a referendum. You know, we want the people to have a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want to, when this is all said and done, we want there to be only two states that have this in the country and neither one of them Tennessee.
Right. There is strong support for this bill of having a referendum. The Tassar Summer Study recommended a referendum for all annexations, and they're in charge of urban growth boundaries. The
now,
Republican.
Sherry, let me interject. It's
okay.
Tassar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did know what that stood for, and others in the audience might know or they might not know. Can you refresh my memory what Tassar stands for?
I'm trying to think. Tennessee Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations. That's it.
Okay. Yep.
I had to think about it, too. It's not an easy thing to remember, you know. But that, to me, was big. And the Republican women of Tennessee unanimously passed a resolution supporting a referendum for all annexations. And in their resolution, the Republican women stated it was just wrong to deprive Tennessee citizens the right to vote. And they also said we could never compromise on the basic freedoms of having the right to vote on property rights issues. And I got to thinking, you know, this issue of forced annexation is not really just, it's not a Republican issue. It's a nonpartisan issue because it affects Democrats, Republicans, independents, and anybody that happens to be affected. So it's not a partisan issue at all. The Republican
I think
Party,
there's a few Democrats that own property. I think there's a few.
Yeah,
lose,
I believe,
right?
That's what I'm saying. So this is definitely a nonpartisan issue. And it affects everybody that's on that affected, annexation target.
You know, since we're talking about property rights here, and it's just a slight detour here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Safe Commute Bill, also known as the Parking Lot Bill. You know, we got it through last year, but it didn't come through with any protections for those who people can still be fired. Okay, but the mm-hmm. people, for instance, I think it was the Farm Bureau last year, not this year, but last year, I believe. And, of course, Federal Express and some of the others, they were talking about the property rights issue. So I'm just curious, and I wonder if there's any way of knowing all these people who were so fired up about property rights and being able to tell somebody that you can't have a gun on my property. Okay, I don't mean that you can't carry it on your person or that you can't bring it into the shop or that you can't bring, but no, you can't even have it in your car. I wonder where those people are. I'm hoping all those people are people we can count on because they're all about property rights.
That's a good point.
I'm sure FedEx is out there. They're behind us on this annexation, aren't they?
I haven't heard a word from FedEx. I wouldn't know. I would hope that they would be, since they were so hot about it with the gun rights issue. I would think if they were going to be consistent, they would need to do that, wouldn't they?
I would say. But back to you. Sorry to throw you off there.
Hey, that's okay. The Republican Party of Tennessee State Executive Committee, they are composed of members, you know, from all corners, all three divisions of the state of Tennessee, and they stated in a resolution that Tennessee must be removed from being the stigma of being one of only three states in the U.S. depriving citizens of the right to vote.
Every now and then rhinos get it right, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, they're on the same page we are. I love it. And then, you know, the Tennesseans Against Forced Annexation group, which I'm a part of, it's known as TAFA on Facebook. We now have over 9,000 members, and we continue to grow. I think that's
how
a pretty
that
awesome number.
That is.
What?
How old is that organization?
And
how
just
old
got started
TAFA?
Last year.
Good Lord, 9,000?
Right, right.
Wow. Wow.
And then I've also been told there's two other groups on Facebook that are also devoted to ending forced annexation, Right to Vote and Cordova's Voice. I'll get it out in a minute. And you can find all three of these, you know, by Google as well as going to Facebook. You'll find them.
And on these, any of these websites, I'm sure, can probably give you the current status of annexation law, the
yes,
stuff that we
will.
Talked about tonight,
it will.
And they can give you a breakdown of all the bills, and I'm sure they probably have listed on there who, the, you know, the different subcommittee members and chairman mm-hmm. and whatnot that need to be called on this.
Yes, yes. We definitely need to get people to contact the House Subcommittee Ways and Means Committee, of which Michael Harrison is the chairperson. I would like to see all of those people be on board for giving people the right to vote, definitely. And I would hope and wish and desire that they co-sponsor Van Hoose's bill as well as Carter's bill.
That would be great. That would be
it
we
would.
Definitely need that. Now Legislative Plaza, I've got to do a little quick read here in just a second, but 10:30 this Wednesday, Legislative Plaza in room 30 is where that's where the Subfinance Committee is meeting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs to wear red.
That's what they're asking everybody to do, to show your support of this bill. And we need everybody that possibly can to be there at 10:30, February 12th, meet at Legislative Plaza in room 30, and wear red to show your support of Van Hoose's bill.
But whether you're red or liberal blue, Democrat, Republican, you know, property rights are for everybody. And speaking of conservatives, our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon. And rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Wicker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Listen to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Sherry Orange, a member of TAFA, Tennesseans Against Forced Annexation, and we're talking about bills that will be in the committee this week. And back to you, Sherry. We're going to have a bunch of people hopefully show up Wednesday, 10:30, room 30, wearing red at the Subfinance Committee hearing for Bill 590. And what happens from there? If we get it out of the subcommittee, let's talk about it from there.
If we get it out of the subcommittee, then it will go, if it has a fiscal note on it, of course, it will go to the full committee, Finance Committee, and then it should go to the House floor after, well, to scheduling and then to the House floor. What concerns us is we've been told by a confidential source that this bill is going to be moved to the back of the calendar as a delay tactic so they can eventually dismiss it due to time constraints, and I really hope there's no validity to that rumor at all. I would hate to even think they would do that to citizens wanting and desiring the right to vote.
You mean that if the subcommittee they're going to do that, or if it gets out of the sub, they're going to move it to the back of the calendar for
scheduling,
the poll?
If it gets into scheduling. That
scheduling for the full committee, or if it gets out of the full committee?
If it gets out of the full committee, we're afraid that it would be put to the back of the calendar so that by the time they got to it, you know, on the full House floor, it would never get to a vote because it would be, they would have to say, oh, we got to shut it down for time constraints. That's what we're afraid of. That's the rumor I've heard, and I hope that's not true.
Who would schedule it? Who is the scheduler?
I don't know.
That's
not my area of expertise. I do not know.
Well, and we need to find out who that person is
and where
they work and what their email is and what their phone number is. And
yes, we do.
Where they shop and anyway. But yeah, we definitely need to figure out who that is and put some pressure there.
Mm-hmm.
So with the amount of support now, based on the rumors you've heard, and I've heard those rumors too, but the bottom line is, with the amount of support that both of these bills have, you're talking a lot of people, and you're not talking
about
just people from one part of the state, and you're not just talking about a certain class of it, but you're talking lottie-dottie everybody from all across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, would it be a smart move in an election year to kill a bill, to deliberately bury a bill to keep from having a vote on it in an election year? You think somebody would actually do that in an election year? If it weren't an election year, I'd say, hey, all bets are off. They'll do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to worry about it. But
Well, this is the best time, in my opinion, to get this very important bill passed is election year. It is the very best time to get it passed.
Well, I agree, and I hope we get it passed. Preferably 590 is further down the hill, you know, further through the process. But if not,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, if Carter's mm-hmm. bill accomplishes the same thing. I know the guys, I actually heard about him last year from some friends of mine, and he was, I think he was probably working on it then as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's been hot and heavy. And, of course, you know, there's other people who've been fighting this fight a long time. I don't have, per se, a dog in this hunt because, where I'm at, it's not a concern. But you know, you never know, 10, 15 years down the line.
Exactly.
Assuming we have another 10, 15 years down the line.
And let me, you know, what makes me so upset about forced annexation, too, is the first thing that you hear is when a city considers annexation, oh, it's not about the money. It is always all about the money, you know. And when
all
city budgets are faced with budgetary problems, this is what I've seen them do. They have these three choices. One, they can reduce spending, which you and I both know they rarely consider that one. They can raise taxes, which is politically risky for them to do that.
Right.
And the last thing, they can add high-value property to its boundaries, and that's what I call ripe fruit for the picking, and that would be, the forced annexation people. And then another thing you need to consider, watch which property they go after. It's always the upscale subdivisions, not the low-income areas that could really benefit from increased services. In some cases, these low-income places have even asked to be annexed, but, of course, they usually ignore that, which is bad.
They don't have enough of a tax base. Yeah. Hey, I've got to take a quick break. Can you stay with us till after the break for a few minutes?
I sure can. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Don't go away. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we'll be right back. If we ever get to leave, I'm waiting for this. There we go.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Military is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Military offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Sherry Orange from Wilson County about forced annexation. We still have Kurt on the line. Kurt, you have a comment or a question about forced annexation?
Not really, Dave. I'm so far out of tune with that particular ball game. I'm interested in it, but frankly, I've got other stuff on my radar that's occupying my time right now. I'm very interested in it. And to the point that actually, you might as well say you heard it first officially here. I'm going to run for county commission over here. So there you go. But I don't have any questions. I heard a rumor there's a guy named Bing Fisher over in McMinnville that may do the same thing too, okay?
All right.
We know that Jeremy Schulzer, one of our friends over here in Henry County, is also running for the commission. If we have any other conservative candidates jumping up to get into the fray, I don't know it at the moment. But anyway, that's what's happening. And yes, I'm very, you know, and I just want to thank Sherry and all the others who are putting all this great effort into this situation. It's of vital importance to us all. So thank you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Sherry, before the break, we were talking, and you mentioned that a lot of times when cities get in trouble, they look for other sources of revenue. They never look to cut. They always mm-hmm. look for other sources. And that kind of put me in mind of, they used to teach us in school that when, communist dictatorships or any type of dictatorship gets in trouble, and starts having trouble at home, whether it's usually a combination of financial, economic, and then just people just overall disgruntled. That's what they do. They try to expand their borders to, create something to. So it's kind of funny that the city governments do the same thing. Oh, hey,
mm-hmm.
we're in trouble here. We're going to have to expand. So they do the same
mm-hmm.
thing that
mm-hmm.
the dictators mm-hmm. do. They expand and try to take in more revenue.
Right, sort of like socialism.
yeah.
Anyway, one other point I was going to make about this annexation thing that I don't like, if you are annexed, you have no right to vote in the municipal elections until 1 year after you've been absorbed into the city boundaries. And this further validates our cry that this is taxation without representation. And there's no time plan. What I mean by that is they can just decide whenever they want to give you services, but you at the same time have to immediately start paying taxes. That's just not right.
No, it's not.
And another thing I was going to tell you, I was at the beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned that there were three bills that addressed annexation. And there's one bill by Senator Norris, SB 2472, and Representative Parkinson, 2469 House bill. And what that does is extend the moratorium from 5/15/2014 to 5/15/2015. And in my humble opinion, this just prolongs the agony, puts everyone in limbo. It's kicking the can down the road, and it just doesn't resolve the issue. So this is not one I support that, you know, I would rather see a citizen referendum. That's what Tennessee citizens want. We must defend our right to vote. We've got to pass one of those bills to stop attempts by Tassler to prolong this moratorium business. And again, I can't reiterate enough, this is election year. This is the best time to get this important bill passed.
Let me ask you this. Earlier on, you know, I was kind of being sarcastic and asking if any of the groups who were harping on property rights when it was when it involved guns, if they've been invited. Are there any other organizations? I mean, TAPA is basically a grassroots organization, 9,000
right.
people, and that's huge. But are there any entities out there, you know, the Farm Bureau, where are they at on this? Are there any of these other big organizations that you would think?
Anything. You would think they would be all in for what we're doing, but they may be. I just don't know about it. I've not ever heard them say anything.
Yeah. Yeah, people need to think about that. I mean, even if you're not a farmer, you know, if you get your insurance from them, then hey, you know, they ought to be looking out for your property rights. You know, they've got they're one of the biggest lobbying groups in Nashville.
That's
you know,
right.
In the state, they're one of the biggest, most powerful
right.
ones, and you would think they'd be all about property rights. They claim to be. So I'm just curious if you'd heard anything about them.
Yeah, especially when we're one of three states left in the nation that has one of the worst annexation laws ever. You know, you would think they would be concerned about it. Here we are supposed to be a state that believes in states' individuals, citizens' rights, and yet we allow any municipality who wants to come in and consume our property at will for the sole purpose of increasing revenue. And these municipalities are going broke because of mismanagement of funds. And they're looking elsewhere, wherever they can, to increase revenue. And every time they want more money, they grab more land. And that just violates consent of the governed. It's people being forcibly annexed, makes them subjects of unjust government. And there's just nothing right about that.
Oh, I
agree.
What
I call abuse of power.
Well, there's a lot of that going on.
I know it. I'm
going to let you go here in just a second, but I want to throw something at you. I don't know if you heard about this or not. It's kind of I thought it was actually kind of ridiculous, but there was a resolution that's in the House. I think Andy Holt sponsored it. Something about, you know, I guess Sean Hannity's going to leave New York. And they wanted to do a resolution encouraging him to relocate to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of ridiculous. But if they're going to do resolutions like that, you know, how about a resolution that has them leave Tennessee in 2014? I would much rather, I mean, nothing against Sean Hannity, okay? Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fine and
right.
Well, okay. But I would I'll much
for
rather
him to
have
either go
them,
to Florida or Texas anyway.
Yeah, I do too. I would much rather Haslam leave than Hannity come, regardless of what he runs for, whether they could talk him into running or anything or not. I'd be happy with it. So I'd love to see that, a resolution that Haslam leave the state and take pirate oil with him.
I like that pirate oil. That's funny.
May I say hoorah to that?
Well, I think we get several people to agree with that. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure you would. Well, I just
Sherry,
want the legislators not to take the citizens' right away to vote, and if they do, they deserve to go home. That's how I feel about it.
I agree. Well, Sherry, I appreciate you being with us, and I appreciate
you
staying probably longer than you anticipated. But, hey, great information, and love to have you back. And the offer I made you about if you had somebody, and this is anybody listening out there, if you have somebody in your district that's running for office or if they're running for reelection and you want to keep them and you want them to get on the show, you know, get in touch with me, and, you know, we'll do what we can to get them on the show.
Okay.
So,
I will be doing that.
Thanks again, and
thank
take care.
So much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. All right, we're up against a break here, so don't go away. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. America is still the freest country on earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is a reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing doctrine of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalowski. Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Listening to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media, I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number 718-305-7176. Thank you, everybody, for being with us tonight. We've got about another half hour, so if you have any questions or comments, please call in to us and let us hear from you. Just a few reminders. Common Core. They're going to have a vote on that this week in, let's see, where is that committee? I'm sorry, I had it right here. You guys got to understand, I don't have an assistant, so if I make a stack somewhere, I've got to go back through it. Anyway, okay. Nope, that's 509. Freedom, okay, forced annex. All right, well, when I find it, I'll read it off to you. But in reference to, here it is. This is from Tennessee Freedom Coalition. Okay, a bill has been filed that will repeal Common Core in Tennessee. We need to take this opportunity and turn it into something real for the children of our state. Keep reading and see how you can help Senator Beavers, Representative Womack, and achieve this goal. On January 30th, 2014, Senator Beavers submitted Senate Bill 2405 to repeal Common Core standards. On February 4th, 2014, Representative Womack submitted the needed House bill to repeal Common Core standards. House Bill 2332. As discussed, the process for bringing the bill has changed. This year, the chairman of each subcommittee will decide which bills will be brought to the floor for a vote. So it's the chairman who decides. This is extremely bad news, and it's probably being used to suppress bills from getting scheduled. Representative Harry Brooks, the House Education Committee chair, has already stated he will not allow any bill to repeal the standards on his floor. Representative Mark White is the chair of the House Education Subcommittee, and Senator Dolores Gresham is the chair of the Senate Education Committee. If you want this bill to be heard on the floor, you must pound Representative Mark White and Senator Dolores Gresham. Once the bill gets scheduled in the House subcommittee and passes, then you start pounding Representative Harry Brooks. And I'm reading this off of an email you may have gathered at. But so you got to call and email every day. I don't know if I do it every day, but you definitely got to keep the pressure on them, okay? So the phone number for Representative Mark White, and this is at the Capitol, is 615-741-4415. And I did call today and leave a message. That's for Representative Mark White to get HB 2332 put on the subcommittee calendar. And then call Senator Dolores Gresham, 615-741-2368, to get Senate Bill 2405 on the Senate Education Committee calendar. Do this now and get everyone you know to call and email. You must do both, call and email. Senator Gresham's email is senate.dolores.gresham@capitol.tn.gov. And Representative White is rep.mark.white@capitol.tn.gov. If you go to tn.gov and look up legislation, you'll be able to find them and find information. But I'm going to read these off again anyway, just in case. The phone number for Representative Mark White is 615-741-4415. You want him to put House Bill 2332 on the subcommittee calendar. And you want Senator Dolores Gresham, 615-741-2368, to get Senate Bill 2405 on the Senate Education Committee calendar. All right, so call them, email them, email your friends, have them put pressure on them as well. You know, it's bad when they don't even want to vote on something that they know people are so concerned about. I mean, Common Core has been, for the last 6 months or so, it's been an issue here in Tennessee. There's been a lot of news on it, and people are concerned about it. Parents are concerned about it. I'm sure at least some teachers are concerned about it. And for them to just say, well, we're going to kill it. We're not going to get a chance to schedule it. Just like like Sherry was mentioning with the annexation bill, where if it gets through, they may put it in the back of the pile and then towards the end of the session say, well, we just don't have time to do this. And that's just not right. So we have to keep pressure on them. We have to remind them, you know, hey, it's an election year, and we're not going to forget come August. If you don't at least, you know, it's one thing if a representative truly does not agree with something. If he just doesn't agree with something, he or she should be honest enough to come out and say, hey, you know, I disagree and here's why. But at least let it be heard. Let it get through the committee and let it be voted on. You know, don't try to kill it and be dishonest about it. Don't try to, you know, use dishonest means to kill something like that. So I just really, it's very irritating that they would do those type of things, but we do know that happens. So keep the pressure on them. You know, Kirk mentioned that he is going to be running for county commission. I know we've got some friends in the Tea Party over here in Stewart County who are going to be running for county commissioner, and I think we've got one or two that might be running for school board. So, you know, it is important that we have good people run. The ones who've been in there have not been getting it done, and I think that's true at the county level and at the state level throughout the state. You know, I hear very few people brag on their county commission. Almost everybody I know has an issue with their county commission. Usually it involves the same problems we have in D.C. I mean, all of our counties they're basically little D.C.s. They spend too much, and they tax too much, and they're incompetent. And they, you know, go overboard to help out their, you know, there's a lot of nepotism going on. You know, family members just happen to get this, happen to get that, happen to get this job, happen to get that job. You know, maybe that's unavoidable to some degree in a small county where everybody's related, like where I live. If you're originally from here, you're pretty good odds you might be related to somebody in government, but they take it too far sometimes, especially around here. So those are just things to keep in mind, and, you know, get some good people in there and pay attention, because, you know, it all kind of flows downhill. If you have a good, strong state legislature that is constitutionally minded, they focus on the federal constitution, they focus on their responsibilities at the state level. when something comes down from the feds that's not right and they stand up, it makes a difference, especially if you have more than one state. I mean, we didn't really get the result we wanted in the lawsuits to Obamacare, but we did get something. We did get the option of, you know, the state, basically states could not be forced to do this. You didn't end the program, but states had the options. Had states not stood up, we'd have no options at all. We would just be, you know, you'd have Obamacare full speed ahead. Well, it's the same thing at the county level, because when you go to talk to your county commissioners, a lot of times what you hear is, well, you know, we can't really do much. We have to do what the state tells us and what the feds tell us. And that's true to a great degree, especially in Tennessee, because the county governments are an extension of the state government, whereas the state governments are not really an extension of the federal government, not intended to be anyway. I mean, that's why we have the Bill of Rights and the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. That's why we have federalism. You know, certain things are totally in the federal realm. Other things are totally in the state realm when the states stand up. That was one good thing that came out of the Roberts decision, or one of the good things. All in all, it was a bad decision, but one of the good things was he did make the remark that states have 10th Amendment rights. They have to stand up for them. You know, so the feds are not just going to say, oh, we won't violate your 10th Amendment. The states have to say, hey, we're not going to let you. You know, you have to stand up, and you have to stand up at the federal level too. I mean, at the state level too, and the county level. So it all rolls downhill, and you need a system of stops at each level. You need people at each level that understand both the state and federal constitution and are very leery of encroachment. You know, whatever is at the county level, you know, what powers they have, they need to guard them. They need to tell the state when and where they can, hey, look, you know, this is a county decision. And at the state level, they surely need to tell the federal government, hey, look, this is not your lane. This is our lane. Stay out of it. Now, the problem is money. You know, the feds bribe the states, and the states oftentimes are willingly bribed. At the county level, you got state and federal money at play. So they're not so much thinking about what's right, and they're not so much thinking about separation of powers and maintaining that balance. They're thinking about, oh, hey, we can get this federal money. All we got to do is agree to do X, Y, and Z. Sounds like a good deal to me, and we'll get millions of dollars in federal grants. If you don't have good people at every level looking out for what's right, you get what we got. And that's how we got, and we didn't get here overnight. So it is important to have people that are constitutionally minded at every level. All right, coming up on a break here. Actually, we're coming up on a little read here for you. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than give you our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Glad to hear that Bing is going to be running for county commissioner as well over in the McMinnville area. So another staunch conservative, hardcore constitutionalist, need more like him. All right. I still have not found that one article I was looking for, and I do apologize. But I do want you to think about a few things here. We're going to have to hold our state government. We're pretty much going to have to ask them to step up a level. And I know that's a challenge, especially with the governor we have. The governor we have is not a whole lot better than the president we have in a lot of ways. But it's getting so dangerous with what our federal government is doing and allowing to happen, and the people that they've emplaced, that they've given power at DHS and in the FBI and everywhere else, we flat out cannot trust the feds. So it's going to fall to our state, and if state sovereignty means anything at all, You know, people that say they're for the 10th Amendment. If state sovereignty doesn't at a minimum mean that the state, the governor and the legislature has some degree of responsibility for the safety and security of their citizens, then it doesn't mean much at all. And if that means that the state, and I know this, I know this is not easy, certainly not easy for a legislator. It wouldn't be easy for the most hardcore conservative constitutional governor in a lot of ways to stand up and say, hey, look, federal government, you're untrustworthy, you're compromised, and your actions have put the citizens of my state at risk. So I can't make you secure the border. I can't make you stop playing footsies with terrorists, even here in the states. I can't make the president stop appointing Muslim Brotherhood, known Muslim Brotherhood operatives to DHS and other positions of power and influence, but I'm going to do everything I can in my state to minimize, limit, or eliminate your influence, your input, your control. That's what the state's going to have to do. Now, I don't know how that happens. I have no confidence in this governor. And if you followed him at all, you know that he either has no clue or he has some other motive. That's all I can say. He's either incompetent or he's in cahoots. So whatever the case may be, I don't know, but that's the bottom line. So I know he's not going to stand up. He's certainly not going to stand up willingly and on his own. That means the state legislature, the state house and the state assembly and the state senators at some way, at some time, are going to have to force him to do the right thing. All right, time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we've got about 15 minutes left, so we kind of have open mic here. If anybody has anything they want to call in about, you have a question, a comment, feel free to call in. I'd love to hear from you. Kurt, are you still with us?
Yeah, Dave, I'm still here. I got to tell you, brother. Sitting here listening to all the things that have been said tonight, and there's one thing that lays on top of the whole pile here. The whole pile stinks. The whole pile is ugly. But there's one thing laying on top of it that I am absolutely livid at the moment, and that is this issue of this Common Core legislation that is threatening to be killed, if I understood, did I understand you correctly on that?
Yes, Harry Brooks, he's the head of the
full
finance
committee
in the House. Yeah,
I know who
and
Harry
he basically
Brooks
said he's
is.
Not,
he's the,
yeah.
He's the guy that talked such a good game on this going in when we were all up there. You know, we thought this was going to sail right on through. I smell Bill Haslam all over this. We know
he is
a big player in the whole Common Core issue. He sits on the board of Achieve in New York, who wrote a great portion of the Common Core, whatever the content is there. This is tyranny. This is nasty Democrat, communist, tyrannical politics at its very best. And like I said, I am absolutely livid, and my lividity is probably not going to do any good right at the moment. But on the other hand, maybe it is. Maybe this will inspire me to try even harder, because this has to stop. This has to be our Tennessee-Boston Tea Party. We got to throw something in the river. I don't know who we're going to dress up like to do it, but action is coming. Action has to come. Go ahead.
You know, and we need to find, I'm not sure what district he's in. We can find out. But we need to find out what district he's in. Does he have a challenger? I hope he's not in a safe district. But if he does, in fact, kill this bill, if he does, in fact, do what he can to avoid it from even being heard, I think he needs to be targeted, provided, you know, he has a challenger, a viable challenger. And if not, you know, we might have to find, I don't know what we can do if he doesn't have a challenger this time around, but that's something we definitely need to look at.
We need to see if we can aggrandize him.
Yeah, he definitely be. And you know what? I tell you what, as much attention as Common Core has gotten,
Well, that's it. The whole state is in an uproar about this.
Yeah.
Parents are up in an uproar. Teachers are in an uproar. Students are in an uproar. The public.
Well, maybe
the church.
I don't know if we can say this on the radio, but maybe we need, and I guess I'll find out if I can't. Maybe we need to start a Give Harry Hell campaign about this issue, you know, because the word is already out, and you know, it was mentioned that. When I was talking to Sherry, that she'd heard that somebody was going to there was somebody going to try to kill the annexation bill, and that was rumored. But I've heard this thing about Representative Brooks. I heard this a while back, and I've seen it more in one place. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's gospel, but the sources I heard it from, I certainly believe. And it'll be pretty obvious if that's what it does. But you know, maybe that's something we got to start working on now as well. Start calling him now and saying, hey, what's the deal? Are you going to give this thing a fair shot? Or are you going to kill it? Are you working for the governor, or are you working for your constituents?
Yeah, well, we got a John Roberts flip-flop here on this, because he was hot to go on this bill. He spoke so eloquently in committee in praise of it, and you know, he made it look really good, like, you know, this is going somewhere. I'm on board with this. I'm going to help do everything, you know. This is a John Roberts flip-flop, maybe worse, I don't know.
Do we have the video? I'm sure if he spoke in committee on it, then it's on video somewhere.
Yes, it is on video.
Okay.
So I've watched
parts
of it, and I know, you know, I was there that morning, so I know a lot of firsthand about what happened. I can't quote it verbatim, but it's on video.
Okay, we probably need to maybe we can make some use of that somehow.
Very possibly.
You know, get a little something going on this. But I am curious. I want to do some digging, find out what district he's in, find out if he has a challenger, and see if we know any people in that district that could make life hard for him.
Yes.
And, of course, they're probably following this if it's one of the Tea Parties in either the 7th or 8th district. So Hey, we've got another caller on the line here. Let me take the call. This number looks familiar, but... caller,
hey, Dave,
you have a question
doing?
Or comment? Okay.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Dave, it's Bing. Just
hey,
calling
Bing,
in from the landline here and announcing that I'm going to throw my towel in the hat for County Commission up here in the 12th District in Tennessee. So,
what county is that, Bing?
12th, Warren County.
Well, Warren County.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So
wanted to let you get an exclusive on that because Kurt basically, he didn't drag me into it. I've been looking at this for the last, three, 4 days anyways and praying about it and everything else. And, just quick as a bun, man. It's just, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody else that supports me and so on that have supported me. And it's going to be a tough fight, especially in this county.
Well, let me ask you this. What one or two issues made you decide, hey, I really need to do this?
My family, my God.
Well, can't beat that. It's Warren,
can't beat that with a stick, can you?
And I think all of our county...
Well, the way I look at it is, I just look around. I see my country. I see my county. I see my state just not going down the drain. There's an atmosphere there that I can relate to in some aspects because I understand how people feel. But the thing is that they're feeling the wrong way, and they're looking at the wrong, the wrong way to get out of the situation. And so I'm just trying to do my part. I'm just a regular dude, you know me.
We need more regular dudes. We need more regular dudes that care about the right things.
Well, that's what
Brother
we need
Bing,
more of. Yes,
Brother
sir.
Bing, welcome to the fray, or welcome to another stage of it, okay? I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you, and it's another aspect of evolution, I guess, in my life. I've done a lot of stuff, and I hope to do a lot more. So, I just want to say I'm going to go ahead and file my papers tomorrow for my nominating petition request here in the 12th district in Warren County, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear it. We need more like you in there. And I think I've been to Warren County once or twice, but I don't know much about it. Is that the district you're in? Is it rural or is it a little mixed? Got a little town, a little country? What do we got?
No, actually, Warren County is one of the biggest counties in Tennessee, but one of the biggest counties in Tennessee with the smallest population, which is a lot of farmland, a lot of farmers, and a lot of nurseries. I mean, there's been more dirt shipped out of Warren County than probably any other county. We're the nursery capital of the world, or we used to be. I don't know. I prayed a lot about this and all that kind of stuff, and I really do think that I can make a change. Talk to my wife and my family and all that kind of stuff about that. So we'll see what we can do,
Well, hey, hats off to you.
Doesn't happen overnight.
Hats off to you, and I'm glad to hear you getting in there. And I hope to have you back on as county commissioner. Hey, by the way, you're a candidate now, so you want to schedule to get on inside Tennessee? You say when?
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, look, we're all brothers here. We all know each other, and we definitely we'll talk. We'll talk.
Okay. Great. Hey, while I got you on there, I'm glad you're in, and I think you got about 90 seconds left. Hey, how's it going with Joe Carr and Lamar? Is Joe Carr going to run over Lamar or what?
Brother, I really think he is. I really, and people say, well, Joe Carr doesn't have the name recognition. Well, I'd put it back to him and say, well, Lamar Alexander does have the name recognition, and it's lousy. It's pitiful, I mean, when you look at it at that point, then, Joe Carr will trounce Lamar. And Lamar is getting scared. You know it. I mean, he's putting out ads early. He's doing anything he can to you know, to eviscerate Joe. So we got to stand tall. We got to stand proud,
yeah.
And we just stand firm.
You got that right. An incumbent with that many years in, that well-known, does not run commercials in January if he ain't scared. Hey, God bless you both. Appreciate you having you on. Appreciate having his friends. Take care. We'll see everybody next week. Have a good one.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.